The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello again and welcome as we lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley Rutherford. I'm Kyle Welch. If you've been searching for a place to be spiritually fed, you have found it. Like you, we believe the Holy Bible contains the spiritual nourishment we need to become faithful servants God requires to help grow His kingdom here on earth. This program is part of an outreach ministry from Shepherd Church, located in Los Angeles, California. Our teaching pastor is Dudley Rutherford, and we join him right now with today's message.
You people are alive and well today. We have three campuses. The people watch online on Aqua Dulce in Woodland Hills here in Porter Ranch. We have people indoors. We have people outdoors. We have people watching on the internet, listening on the radio, television. Several people, they write me from all over the world. Someone, a lady named Pauline, wrote me this week from Huntington Beach. And she told me she's 80, she's in her 80s, like 85. But when she was a young girl, she went to my grandfather's church back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and she's been watching every week online. I want to welcome Pauline to our service today. And then there's a lady named Mary, who is the caregiver for my in-laws, Ronnie and Darlene Epps, back in Kansas City, and they have been having some tough times physically, and they have a caregiver. And just because they're my in-laws, they got her watching every weekend. So Mary's watching from Kansas City. I want to welcome Mary. And one more. I got a buddy named Tim. His name is Tim Venturi, and he's the son of the great famous golfer Ken Venturi. And Tim Venturi lives in Indian Wells, California. He watches every weekend, and without fail, he'll always write me a note just telling me how much he enjoyed the sermon. So I want to welcome Tim Venturi and all the people all around the world. Let's thank all the people who are with us. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. We've been studying through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an incredible study. Today, chapter 6 is a passage that is the culmination of everything we have studied thus far. I do want to catch those of you that are new up to speed, and if you've been with us every week, you'll know this material. But Nehemiah, who this book is about, lived in an area. He was what's called an exiled Jew. He was not born in the land of Israel. What had happened 130 years before this story took place, King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, which is a world power, came to Jerusalem. They destroyed the city, they destroyed the temple, and they destroyed all the walls around the city of Jerusalem. And then they carried the Jews who lived there about 1,000 miles across the hot desert sands to the land of Babylon, where the Jews were held in captivity. And several things happened, but Persia, which was another world power, eventually conquers Babylon. And the Persians were freer in their cooperation with the Jews who lived in that area. Nehemiah, of course, was born during that period in captivity. He raised up to where he was a cupbearer for the king, King Artaxerxes of Persia. And Nehemiah, this is all back in chapter 1, he gets word that the walls in Jerusalem are still lying in ruin. It's been 130 years and the walls are still destroyed. And Nehemiah gets word about this and He seeks God's blessing and he seeks the king's favor to return to Jerusalem to rebuild those walls. And after garnering favor and passports, Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah returns to Jerusalem. And the very first thing that he does is he inspects the walls and sees the work that needs to be done. Nehemiah chapter 3, he organizes all the people and they begin to rebuild those walls. Nehemiah chapter 4, the resistance and attacks come from those who do not want the walls rebuilt. But Nehemiah has to reorganize the people again to keep the project moving forward. And so that leads us here to chapter 6. We're going to see three major parts to this captivating biblical story of Nehemiah rebuilding these ancient walls of Jerusalem. Number one, write this down if you're taking notes, and I hope you are. First thing that we see is this opposition, what I call opposition galore. We have seen over and over again throughout this story, at every turn, there is this opposition. We know that Nehemiah, according to Nehemiah 2 verse 18, we know that he's doing a good work. We know this is a good thing to do. We also know that these troublemakers keep attempting to derail him at every turn. And we see these troublemakers in chapter 2. We saw them in chapter 4. And here we are in chapter 6. These three troublemakers, you should know their names by now, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem keep raising their ugly attempts to thwart the work of God. They ridiculed Nehemiah. They mocked the Jews. They threatened the workers physically. They tried almost everything they could to derail the work of God. I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. I want to show you a few verses where we're introduced to these three unsavory characters. Verse 1, Sanballat. Everybody say Sanballat. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not yet set the doors in the gate. So they're almost finished. Verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of those little villages out there on that plain of Ono. I want everyone to say, oh no. Say that one more time. As I teach my grandchildren, uh-oh, spaghetti-o. That's oh no, spaghetti-o. Okay. Come meet us on the plain of oh no. But the Bible says that they were scheming to harm me. Verse 3. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great work, a great project. I cannot go down. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you down there on that plain of oh no? Oh no, I'm not going to oh no. Verse 4. Now watch this. Four times they sent me the same message. And each time I gave them the same what? The same answer. Verse 3 is one of my favorite lines in this entire book. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Four times. They said, hey, Nehemiah, come down off that wall. Nehemiah, come, let's go to the plain of Ono. Nehemiah, stop rebuilding that wall. Let's get together. Four times they said, come down off that wall. And four times Nehemiah said, send him the same message. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Oh, that's a powerful statement. Anytime you're trying to live for God, anytime you're trying to be like Jesus. Now, I'm glad that you're in church today. Give yourselves a hand. But being in church does not make you a Christian. Just because you're here does not mean you're a Christian. I'm glad you're here, don't get me wrong. I wish the whole world was here today. But if you ever become a Christian, it's because you've made a decision to become a Christian. You have to look at everything, and you look at the world, and you look at Christianity, and you kind of think through it, and in your heart, you reach this point where you're going to put your faith and trust, and you just like, I'm going to give my life to Christ. It's a decision that you make. And anytime you make a decision for God, for God's work, for God's kingdom, to work, to serve, to volunteer, it could even be the job that you have. You feel like that job was a God-given calling upon your life. Anytime you choose to do the work of God, there will always be the Sanballats and the Tobias and the Geshems, the people that will come alongside and mock you and ridicule you and threaten you and will attempt to derail you. That will always happen when you make that type of decision. This church right here, I believe, would be the largest church in the United States of America if the enemy had not derailed and discouraged so many of you and caused so many people to quit over the years. We know that Satan will do anything to thwart the work of God. We know that. And he'll use discouragement. He'll use division. He'll use diversion. He'll use distractions. Anything in his arsenal to thwart the work of God. David Hawking tells the story that he was invited to preach at a particular church to do a series of evangelistic meetings. And one night, he stood up to preach and he looked out over the audience and he could tell that something was wrong. He could sense the bitterness and the division. He said nobody was singing and nobody was responding. And even as he was preaching, he felt that no one was listening. And so right in the middle of his sermon, he just stopped and he closed his Bible. And he said, I have to ask what's wrong. Something's wrong here. I can feel it. The pastor sitting down on the front row about had a heart attack. And the pastor literally got up from his chair and came up and started talking to David Hawking on the platform. And he said, we've been having some problems in our church. And David Hawking said, well, what kind of problems are you having? And the pastor said, well, you're not going to believe this, but we're remodeling the church basement. And our church has become divided over what color we're going to paint the walls. And David looked at him like, are you serious? And he said, yes. He said, I know this sounds crazy. He goes, but some people just believe that we ought to paint those walls blue because blue is like the color of sky. And it kind of reminds us of heaven, the place where we're all going. And some people in our church thinks the walls should be painted green because green represents growth. And that's why we're having these classes down in the basement. And he goes, we've just become divided over the color of the paint in the basement. And David Hawking said, and you expect this meeting to do any good when that's all you care about? And then he said, does anyone in the audience know how to paint? And a little old man in the back stood up. And David Hawking said, I make a motion that we appoint that fellow right there to paint the basement, and he can paint the basement any color he wants, and the rest of us will just spend the rest of our lives criticizing him for the color that he chose. And they kind of laughed. And then he said, what we really ought to do is we all ought to go downstairs and paint those walls dark gray for the sin that's in this church. And from that point on, they had a pretty good meeting there at the church. You know, when I was a young man, just starting out in ministry, it never dawned on me how many people in the church would be negative and critical and petty. I literally spend every day, every waking moment of my life, whether I'm working, playing, dreaming, whatever I'm doing, I have one thought in my head. What can we as a church do to glorify Jesus Christ and make a difference in the city in which we live? That's the only thought I have. And all these years later, after battling so many people every week on certain issues, I now know that in every church, not just this church, they're in every church, are the naysayers and the criticizers and the troublemakers and the dividers and the distractors. People who sit around, there are people who sit around all week long and never lift one finger in the kingdom of God, and yet they want to show up from time to time and just cause trouble at every opportunity. Nehemiah was doing a good work. And four times his enemies said, come down off of that wall. And Nehemiah every time said, I can't come down off this wall. I'm doing a great work for God. What Nehemiah should have said, instead of you sitting out there and trying to get me off of this wall, why don't the three of you come up and join me on this wall and let's finish this project to the glory of God? Now, that's what he should have said. Which leads me to my second point. Now, stay with me, because what I'm getting ready to talk about next is another level. This is a whole nother level of opposition that we see next. And I want you to write this down. I call this the fear-mongering from Geshem. Fear-mongering from Geshem. Everybody say Geshem. Don't ever name your kid Geshem. Let's look at Nehemiah 6. Now, Nehemiah's up on the wall. He's working. Verse 4 says that four times, how many times? Four times they kept telling him, come down off that wall. Let's go meet on the plain of Ono. We got some things we want to talk about. He knew that they were just scheming to harm him. He says, I cannot come down. Tells them the same four times. He says, I can't come down. I can't come down. I can't come down. Well, these guys are relentless. Look at verse 5. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aid to me with the same message. Now this time in his hand was a what? It was an unsealed letter. What's the significance of an unsealed letter? Well, usually if a letter came and it had authority, it would have an emblem. It would be sealed, so you know that no one had tampered with it. But the text says that this letter was unsealed. So they bring this letter. It's unsealed, which means it anybody could write anything on it, right? But here's what the letter says. Now pay attention how this goes. It is reported among the nations. And Geshem says it's true. I mean, if Geshem says it, it has to be true. You see where we're going here? That you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, which Geshem says are true, you are about to become their king, and you have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us confer together. Nehemiah said this in reply. He said, up your nose with a rubber hose. That's what he said. Just it's fun to just turn to your neighbor and say, up your nose with a rubber hose. I mean, it's getting deep in here. What does he say? Nothing like what you're saying is happening. You're just making this stuff up. Pay very careful attention to verse 9, how it starts. They were trying to what? frighten me. That's fear-mongering. Have you ever, I know you think you know what fear-mongering is. Have you ever looked up fear-mongering in the dictionary to see exactly what it is? I did. Can I show it to you? Here's what it says. Definition of fear-mongering. Deliberately spreading fearful, frightening, and exaggerated rumors of an impending danger to purposely arouse fear in order to manipulate the public. Have I seen that in this country? That sounds like normal operating procedures for every mainstream outlet in the United States of America. It's fear-mongering. And do you know what another word for fear-mongering is? It's lying. That's all it is. It's lying. Proverbs chapter 6 tells us there are seven things. Look at Proverbs 6. I'll put it on the screen. It says there are six things that the Lord just hates. There are seven that he detests. And I want to read them to you. Verse 17, number one on that list are haughty eyes. Number two is a lying tongue. The third thing that he hates, our hands that shed innocent blood. He hates it. Verse 18, the fourth thing on that list is a heart that devises wicked schemes and feet that rush into evil. There's two more things on that list that he hates. Verse 19, one is a false witness who pours out lies. That's fear-mongering. That's Geshem. And the seventh thing on that list is what's called scandal-mongering. It's a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Verse 19 is a biblical description of fear-mongering and scandal-mongering. And God detests both of those things, those who delight in sowing discord. God can't stand that.
It's a blessing for us to bring this program to you every day. We exist only by our faithful partners who support us through their prayers and financial gifts. If Pastor Dudley's message has been a blessing to you, we would like to encourage you to consider joining in partnership with us so we can continue to be here every day to bless others with this important ministry. Your gifts, whether large or small, are greatly appreciated and go directly to help keep us on the air. You can find out more about supporting us by calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. That number again is 888-818-4777. We have operators standing by and ready to take your call. You can also support us by going to our website, liftupjesus.com/reach. That address again is liftupjesus.com/ and then the word reach.
Is there some aspect of your life that is in need of restoration, transformation, or all-out resurrection? This is Kayla Francis. If you are in need of the healing, redemptive, and death-to-life power that is only found in Jesus, please join us this Easter at Shepherd Church. Pastored by my dad, Dudley Rutherford, we'll be hosting services from Good Friday all the way through Resurrection Sunday at several locations throughout Los Angeles. In Porter Ranch, Woodland Hills, Agua Dulce, and Simi Valley at our brand new campus. you'll be welcomed into a joyful celebration of the risen Savior, where you'll be met by friendly faces, a powerful time of worship, and an uplifting message from the Word of God. And as always, you can join us online from anywhere in the world. For more information and to plan your visit, please log on to www.shepherdchurch.com. That's www.shepherdchurch.com. Experience the power of the resurrection this Easter with Shepherd Church.
I'm Kyle Welch. We invite you to join us every weekday at this time when we again lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.